Okay, guys, welcome to Truth Earth Radio. This is your host, Charles Giuliani. Continuing our discussion about our wonderful corrupt government, in the past we've talked about the conspiracy for world domination, or the New World Order, as it's often called. We laid the whole foundation for that. We went into the history of it, showing how this has been the plan from pretty much from day one, and how all through this country's history, the powers that be have been working behind the scenes. The big international financiers, the hucksters who created our fraudulent banking system, the Federal Reserve, have been busy working behind the scenes, taking control of everything, not only in this country, but abroad. But they've been primarily working through this country and through Britain to invade other countries around the world, turn them into minions of the ever-growing empire, and, you know, always under the pretext of, you know, containing communism, or now it's, you know, fighting against Al-Qaeda, yeah, whatever. And all the while, not only are they taking control of these countries and building bases as they go along, but stealing their resources, most notably oil, as they rake in massive profits. You know, you think people would start asking some real serious questions here. You know, why isn't our media telling us what's going on? Why are they obviously lying to us? Why are they making so light of this current Iraq war, for example, which everybody has to know by now, unless they're completely brain dead, that we were lied into? Why isn't the media honing in on this and asking some deeper, more serious questions? You know, since they have, in fact, invaded Iraq, and since Iraq has the second largest oil reserves in the world, since they have invaded Afghanistan and have now taken control of the oil in the Caspian Sea, and are now building a pipeline across Afghanistan, project that's nearly complete, you know, why are we paying such high oil prices? I'll tell you why. Because they secured their monopoly on that commodity. As long as Saddam was around and had the ability to undersell them, they couldn't charge whatever they wanted. But now that he's been removed, now that they've secured their monopoly, you see, it doesn't matter if the oil is yet flowing out of Iraq or not. In fact, they prefer it not be. That's the whole point. They don't want it flowing. They don't want peace over there. They want the fighting to continue because they make big money for their contractor buddies, and, you know, they have investments in those companies themselves, the Bushy boys. So they want the war to drag out. Doesn't matter to them how many people die. Most people look at the Iraq war as a complete failure on Bush's part. No, it isn't. It's a complete success on Bush's part. He and his little whores on Wall Street want this war to drag on. It's like Vietnam. They wanted that war to drag on. It had no purpose other than just to drag on. It wasn't intended to be won. Are you kidding? Not as far as we the people are concerned. It was won as far as they're concerned. They made huge profits off it because it dragged on endlessly for over 10 years. That's a complete victory for them. Oh, the fools that don't see through this. But anyway, think about it. They've seized two of the largest oil reserves in the world now. They already have control over the Saudi oil fields. You know, Bushies have been in bed with the Saudi royal family for a long time. So, you know, now that they got Iraq, they got Afghanistan, they're all set. They've got control of those oil fields, of those oil reserves, and so now they charge whatever they want because there's nobody serious out there that can pose a threat to them, that can undersell them. That's how it works, folks. That's what's going on. So, we've talked about that in past shows. We talked, of course, about 9/11, a major piece of the puzzle, a major link in this long chain of events like this. We've talked about a few other little fiascos here and there, but tonight I want to deal with another issue. This is another little arsenal in their weapon that they're using against us, leading us ever closer to their world government. They're creating an international crisis. As a matter of fact, I talked, I think it was last week, I made reference to the to global warming. What a fiasco that was. And, you know, the environmental movement, you know, the environmental movement per se is not bad. In fact, they've got some good ideas. Yeah, let's save the environment. But what most of the environmentalists don't realize is the very people that they're fighting against are the ones they're actually working for without even realizing it. The very people who created the environmental crisis in the first place are the ones who are going to benefit from the solution that's being offered. And the solution is, of course, let's all band together in the international community. Let's join forces so we can fight all these global problems, global warming, global pollution, global poverty. They've created all of these crises so you can rally behind their global government movement to solve it. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. You create a problem, and then you come along with the solution, and the people are too stupid to figure out that they're the ones that created the problem in the first place, and now they're the ones proposing the solution so they can get you rallied behind them where they wanted you all along, but otherwise couldn't have gotten you to support them had they not created these crises in the first place to sucker you. That's, of course, what 9/11 was all about. Phony crisis to get you to go fight the big bad boys over in Afghanistan so they can steal their oil and their natural gas in the Caspian Sea. They were, in fact, planning that war long before 9/11, but had no excuse, no pretext to do it. And, of course, they're really milking it for all it's worth. They're using 9/11 as, initially anyway, that was the excuse for going into Iraq. Part of the war on terror. Well, who doesn't know now that Iraq had nothing to do with terrorism, but it doesn't matter. It worked initially. That's all that mattered. It got you in there, suckered you in to go to another war for them. Now they're working on Iran. Bush just said today that we could be looking at World War III if Iran should develop nuclear weapons. Oh, give me a break. They want World War III, boys and girls. What better excuse to bring about world government? They love it. They want it. They got Putin now threatening, don't go in there. This is what they want. But they don't want it to look too obvious. They're hoping to set off some phony pretext, tick off Iran somehow, or make it look like Iran stole a nuke, set off a nuke somewhere, and put Iran's fingerprints on it so that it looks legitimate. But they're doing a real crappy job at it, in case you haven't noticed. Anybody who's become even mildly acquainted with what went on 9/11 knows that that was a fraud. As a matter of fact, it just came out a couple days ago that the NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, admitted in the letter that they wrote in response to some a request that was made by Professor Stephen Jones, formerly with Brigham Young University. Him and his colleagues have uncovered a whopping amount of evidence to show that 9/11 was, in fact, an inside job. And so they sent a letter requesting NIST answer some of their questions, because the report that NIST produced, supposedly to explain how the towers collapsed, did not answer that question. And in fact, just like the 9/11 Commission report, it's just a simple cover-up. I mean, what do you expect? You get a federal institution to defend the federal government, and you get nothing but federal lies. So anyway, in response to the letter, NIST actually admitted that they do not know why Building 7 collapsed. They can't explain it. No wonder they haven't come out with their definitive report on why that building collapsed. They were supposed to do it early this year. It never happened. Then they said, this summer. Well, that never happened. Now the latest, as of this past summer, they said, by the end of the year. Well, here we are. We've got, less than a month and a half, less than 2.5 months of this year. And they still haven't released this report. They're not going to. They just admitted in this letter that they don't know what caused Building 7 to collapse. That's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, smoking guns with 9/11, folks. That building fell later in the afternoon on 9/11 and had no major fires burning in it. It wasn't hit by any airplane, had minimal amount of damage on it, and the damage began at the 18th floor level, and yet that building crumbled from the base. There's nothing known to man that could facilitate something like that except a controlled demolition. There's no question. Anybody who can't see that has just got to be deaf, dumb, and blind. And those are their good points. Anyway, so, this is our world. This is our George Orwellian world that we live in. Lies and fiascos and scams. And so tonight, with no further ado, let me launch into this. Tonight I'm going to talk about another one of these fiascos. Weather modification. That's right. Weather control. You didn't think such a thing was going on? You didn't think such a thing was possible? Well, kick back. I've got some very disappointing news for you. That is what's going on and has been going on for a long time now. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote in his 1970 book, Between Two Ages, very interesting statement. He said, quote, as one specialist, Gordon J.F. McDonald, who he's quoting from here, as one specialist noted, quote, by the year 2018, technology will make available to the leaders of the major nations a variety of techniques for conducting secret warfare. Techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm, thereby weakening a nation's capacity and forcing it to accept the demands of the competitor. Here they were, Brzezinski, or the man he was quoting from, was proposing to utilize weather modification technology in coming decades to wage war against countries without them even knowing about it, to destroy their ability to produce crops, to feed their population, and starve them into submission, and they wouldn't even know that this was being orchestrated by an enemy nation. They would think it was some natural calamity. Well, in case you haven't noticed, look around you. The weather is very screwy lately, isn't it? For those of you that turned in last week, you saw the documentation that I provided showing that they have been deliberately polluting the environment, deliberately tampering with the environment, creating this global warming fiasco to sucker people into accepting their world government as the only hope to save man from all these natural calamities that are occurring. They're not natural. They appear to be, until you understand what's really going on behind the scenes. They're orchestrating the whole thing, and I'll prove that before I'm finished tonight. The Wall Street Journal, November 13th, 1997, carried an article called Malaysia to Battle Smog with Cyclones by Chen Mei Yi, page A19. Here's what it said. Malaysia's war on smog is about to get a new twist. The government wants to create man-made cyclones to scrub away the haze that has plagued Malaysia since July. We will use special technology to create an artificial cyclone to clean the air, said Datuk Law Heng Ding, Minister for Science, Technology, and the Environment. The plan calls for the use of a new Russian technology to create cyclones to cause torrential rains, washing the smoke out of the air. Blah, blah, blah. I won't continue reading the whole quote, but I'm just showing you here that, you know, this is back in 1997, folks. This is 10 years ago. Wall Street Journal was talking about this technology that they were going to be employing to create a cyclone to get rid of the smog. So, you know, if you have any doubt that people are crazy and paranoid and have delusional minds when they talk about weather modification, guess again. The London Times, on November 23rd in 2000, quoted world-renowned scientist Dr. Rosalie Bertell as saying, quote, U.S. military scientists are working on weather systems as a potential weapon. The methods of weather control include the enhancing of storms and the diverting of vapor rivers in the Earth's atmosphere to produce targeted droughts or floods. You still think this is something out of Star Trek, something futuristic, something beyond our current reach of technology? It's time to wake up and smell the roses, folks. Been going on for quite some time now. In 1994, a UN publication was released called Basic Facts About the United Nations. It mentioned a treaty dating back to 1977 called 1977, the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. This agreement was described as follows, quote, NMOD, that's the conference, NMOD convention prohibits the use of techniques that would have widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects through deliberate manipulation of natural processes and cause such phenomena as tidal waves and changes in climate and in weather patterns. They're talking here about the ability to change entire climates, whole weather patterns regionally, and to create tidal waves. Now, isn't that interesting? Need I remind you that in December of 2004, there was a major tsunami in the Pacific, and that this tsunami was actually known to be ready to strike 4 hours in advance, and nothing was done to warn those people. In fact, when asked, officials in Washington, who certainly knew what was going on, said that they didn't have the available numbers in their Rolodex to call to give proper warning. Are you serious? You're going to tell me in this modern high-tech age, in the age of CNN International, they couldn't have made a phone call to CNN to make sure that they broadcast it? You better believe they could have. They didn't want to. Because A, they wanted this thing to happen, and B, they orchestrated it to happen. The same weather modification technology that's used to create storms and divert storms is also used to incite earthquakes, folks. It's called ELF radiation, extremely low frequency radio waves, which can be used to cause the earth to tremor. You just aim the beam at a known earth fault, earthquake fault, and that's exactly what they did. They aimed it in the Pacific, on the ocean floor. It created an earthquake, which resulted in a huge tidal wave. They knew when it was going to strike, where it was going to strike. Again, by their own admission, they knew 4 hours in advance. They didn't do anything about it. And guess who gets the contracts afterwards? Are you getting the picture here? Anyway, let me continue on here. One of the people who pushed early on for such a treaty regarding, you know, control of the use of weather modification technology. This was reported, guys, in the June 24th, 1975 edition of the Providence Journal Bulletin. His name was Senator Claiborne Pell, Democrat from Rhode Island, who made this statement, quoted in the journal. He said, the U.S. and other world powers should sign a treaty to outlaw the tampering with weather as an instrument of war. We need a treaty now to prevent such actions before the military leaders of the world start directing storms and manipulating climates against their enemies. The basic idea of environmental warfare is simple. And then he goes on to describe, you know, possible uses of it. They can create droughts, they can create great storms, rainfall, flooding, tidal waves, he says, even climate changes that could devastate an enemy nation and its agriculture. And, you know, he just goes on and on. I won't read the whole thing here. But, again, here we see reference being made to, you know, directing storms, manipulating climates, flooding, melting the polar ice cap. There's your global warming for you. Changing the course of warm ocean currents, he also said. This is unreal, guys. Again, when we consider what is going on with all the bizarre weather changes, beginning in the early 1990s, we've been having enormous floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, droughts, extremes of hot and cold. You had your El Nino. Whatever happened to that? You don't have much talk about that anymore. Of course, your global warming, your ozone depletion. Are you getting the picture here? They're destroying this planet, guys, just to fatten their wallets and increase their power. They don't care what the casualties are, as long as big, fat, juicy rebuilding contracts can be handed out. Life magazine, August 1998 issue, in an article called Weather Special Report, page 40, had this to say. The rain is biblical. Bucketing down as if God has meant to drown Manhattan's haughty towers. Yeah, that's before they came down. Everyone's talking about the weather, or cursing it, or trembling before it, or theorizing as to cause and effect, and you needn't be paranoid to conclude that climatic conditions have gone batty in recent months. In the U.S., it started early last year when the Truckee River invaded Reno, Nevada. A few months later, more than 30 died as rivers in the Ohio Valley burst their banks. The Red River swallowed Grand Forks, North Dakota, displacing 50,000. Not long after that, the rogue Pacific current known as El Nino began wreaking havoc around the world. And this article just goes on and on again. I'm not going to spend all the time to read this. We do have time constraints here, unfortunately. But very interesting article. You know, it talks about all over the planet, all over Europe, Asia, Africa, the weather's just balmy. And, of course, this was back several years ago. It's even worse today, folks. You're getting droughts in places that ordinarily have torrential rains and vice versa. Areas that are usually wet are becoming dry. Really, there isn't any place on the planet that's having normal weather anymore. What do you think is going on here? They're screwing around left and right, and they're telling you, oh, it's this and that, if the sun is heating up, and all this going on all over the solar system, and baloney it is. They're doing it, boys and girls. Oh, you got any doubts still? I don't see how you could, but if you do, stick around. We've got lots more interesting little tidbits to share here. In the first 10 days, guys, of May 2003, record tornado statistics were set, with a total of 412 tornadoes touching down in several states from Kansas to Georgia, 22 of which were F5s. In all, a total of 44 deaths resulted. This broke the previous record set in 1999. Where about 200 tornadoes were reported within a 10-day time period. As far as the U.S. goes, most weather manipulations are conducted and coordinated at the HAARP facility. That's the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program near the village of Gakona, Alaska. Google that, folks. H-A-A-R-P. HAARP. That's where it's going on. That's where most of this weather modification technology is being directed. This facility bombards the ionosphere with extremely high and low frequency energy emissions, primarily radio waves. In conjunction with similar facilities around the country, like the Gwen Towers, located in places like Mechanicsville and Ledyard, Iowa, Chelsea, Wisconsin, Shepherd, Minnesota, Curryville, and Dudley, Missouri, on and on and on, there's several of them all around the country, and also in conjunction with orbiting satellites, they can pretty much direct and control and manipulate the weather at any point on the planet that they so desire. You might also be interested to know that this is most likely the cause of a good many crop circles, strange, bizarre formations, you know, with crops around the world. Chemtrails is tied in with this. And guess what else? Whale and dolphin beachings. Whales and dolphins, of course, use radar, radio waves, to navigate the seas. But when you have all this ELF radiation floating around, it's screwing them up. They don't know which way to go. They're actually running into the, I mean, for countless millennia, the whales have used the Earth's natural environment, you know, to navigate. They've used their own built-in radar, and, you know, they bounce it off, you know, land masses and whatever off the ocean floor. And, you know, they can find their way around. But when you have all of this extra radar radiation floating around, it's messing them all up. They can't navigate correctly. They're getting all mixed signals, and this is why they're beaching themselves. Man is screwing everything up on this planet. But this is all an outgrowth of the weather modification technology. As far as the chemtrails goes, well, you know, there's a lot of agenda, twisted, hidden agendas behind that. But one of them is weather modification. They put barium and other salts high up in the air, and they actually act as wires, if you will, that float in the atmosphere for extended periods of time, through which they can send these currents of radio waves to help block storm systems and divert them and whatnot. Interestingly, U.S. patent number 4,686,605, held by Arco Power Technologies, Inc., the Arco subsidiary that was actually contracted by the U.S. government to build the HARP facility, describes an ionospheric heater very similar to the HARP heater. According to this patent, quote, weather modification is possible by altering upper atmospheric wind patterns or altering solar absorption patterns. This patent goes on to mention how, quote, Alaska provides easy access to magnetic field lines that are especially suited to the practice of this invention, since many field lines which extend to desirable altitudes for this invention intersect the Earth in Alaska. Well, isn't that interesting? Given this revelation, is it not obvious why Alaska was the chosen place as the site for HARP? Folks, this is too obvious to miss. I should also mention that the earliest theoretical experimental groundwork for weather modification technology was actually laid by the genius inventor Nikola Tesla, 1856 to 1943. Of course, his desire was to see this technology used for the betterment of mankind, not for the destruction thereof. In the September 9th, 1915 Manufacturer's Record, he wrote an article called The Wonder World to be Created by Electricity, in which he stated, quote, the time is very near when we shall have the precipitation of the moisture of the atmosphere under complete control, and then it'll be possible to draw unlimited quantities of water from the oceans, develop any desired amount of energy, and completely transform the globe by irrigation and intensive farming. A greater achievement of man through the medium of electricity can hardly be imagined. If he only knew, folks, where this was really going to go, how they were actually going to wind up employing his technology. Interestingly, Congressman Dennis Kucinich introduced legislation in 2001 that was designed to prevent the use of space-based and HARP-type systems from being used as weapons, not only in the realm of weather modification, but other areas that are even more sinister. Known as H.R. 2977, the Space Preservation Act of 2001, it forbade the use of, quote, land-based, sea-based, or space-based systems using radiation, electromagnetic, psychotronic, sonic, laser, or other energies directed at individual persons or targeted populations for the purpose of information war, mood management, or mind control of such persons or populations. It also forbade the use of high-altitude, ultra-low-frequency weapon systems. There's your HARP for you right there. It even prohibits the use of chemtrails. Isn't that interesting? He actually mentioned chemtrails. So here's people saying, oh, you go talking about that crazy paranoid stuff, chemtrails, there's no such thing. Well, here's a piece of legislation introduced by a congressman who talks about chemtrails as a reality and a very serious threat to the environment, and yet they're seen on a daily basis. Obviously, pieces of legislation like that, even if they ever did get passed, wouldn't matter. They wouldn't follow them anyway. The reasons for releasing these toxins are too numerous to elaborate on here, guys, you know, through the chemtrails, but suffice it to say that none of these reasons have anything to do with the public's interest. I guarantee you that right now. It's not just the U.S. doing this either, of course. It's done by other countries around the world, naturally, because this is all part of the New World Order. So it is universal, yeah? Other laws like this have been introduced since 2001. You know, that's just one example I cited by Kucinich. But again, I hope it's enough to show you folks weather modification is reality, okay? I know some people want to hide their head in the sand and play make-believe, but sorry, this isn't quite the cozy, comfy, happy little world that you thought it was. And you'd better wake up to it fast because they're just getting warmed up. They're going to turn this planet into a living hell before too long if we don't stop them. Hello? It happened under Hitler. You don't think it's going to happen again? It is happening again. Snap out of it, America. Snap out of it, world. Following President Clinton's re-election in 1996, a report called Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2020, was submitted to the Chief of Staff of the U.S. Air Force, Ronald R. Fogelman, as part of an important directive called Air Force 2025. This report, presented on June 17, 1996, states in part, quote, "Today, weather modification is the alteration of weather phenomenon over a limited area for a limited period of time," or at least that's what they wanted you to think. Nevertheless, very interesting admissions were made herein. It goes on, "But within the next three decades, the concept of weather modification could expand. Achieving such a highly accurate and reasonably precise weather modification capability in the next 30 years will require overcoming some challenging but not unsurmountable technological and legal hurdles." Notice, legal hurdles. They want to be able to break the law, in other words, get away with it. Openly. They're doing it covertly, but they want to do it openly, guys. That's what this is really all about, this document here. It goes on. "As more countries pursue, develop, and exploit increasing types of degrees of weather modification technologies, we must be able to detect their efforts and counter their activities when necessary. The technologies and capabilities associated with such a counter-weather role will become increasingly important." So obviously this is something that they're highly focused on. Why toy with the weather? Well, I've already mentioned the profit margin, you know, the rebuilding contracts. It's also a great military weapon and a great way to engage in population control. Talked about that on an earlier show. This is another way they're bringing it about, guys, because they can target certain areas with their little high-tech weather modification toys and wipe them out. Ethnic cleansing without anybody knowing what's really going on. Do I have to mention what happened in New Orleans in 2005? Does that require any further elaboration? You do know what went on there, don't you, folks? You might, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about that later in the show, but you can bet there was something very strange going on there. I'll come back to that in a bit. Ultimately, the real agenda behind weather modification is the advancement, of course, of the global government. That's what lies behind all of this crap. Miami Herald, February 24th, 2004, had this to say: "A new report ordered by the Pentagon warns that a sudden change in climate could become a violent global battle for control of scarce resources." This is an interesting article. Went on to say that, you know, weather modification is something very important we should be rallying behind. In fact, we should be calling for world government to make sure that this technology doesn't fall into the wrong hands. World government would see to it that it... Again, guys, you see, they don't care if you believe there is weather modification technology. As long as you think some enemy nation possesses it. And the only way to stop them is to have world government, when all the while they're the ones that have it, and they're using it on a regular basis. It's unbelievable. Don't you dare talk about weather modification if you're going to say that the U.S. government is using it. But if you want to talk about foreign governments having it or having the potential to develop it, oh, yes, that's true. Yes, yes, that's a real threat. And the only way to counter it, we've got to have world government right now. It's unbelievable. The schizophrenia of the whole thing. Yet in reality, who in the world do you think would have the resources, the technology, the expertise, the finances to have such technology? Flipping Paraguay? Give me a break, folks. The United States of America. That's the nation that has the technology, the resources, the money, the finances. And that's the nation that wants you to think everybody else is trying to develop it. So we've got to work to counteract this by setting up a world government. That's what they're saying. That's all this is about, folks. They'll manipulate it any way they can to get you to rally behind the little world government scheme. Anyway, let me continue on here. I was going to read some more of that article, but for time's sake, I'm going to skip past that. By the way, if anybody wants the transcripts for this show, or any other show I've done for that matter, or any other show in the future where I am talking alone, not when I have a guest, I'll be having guests in the future, but any show like this where I'm talking, you know, from my transcripts, just send me a request to truthhurtsradio@aol.com, Hertz being spelled H-E-R-T-Z, and just tell me the show topic, and I'll be happy to send that to you. I'll just send it as an attachment file. But, there's a lot of stuff I'm skipping over here, but again, if you want the notes for this, just drop me an email, and I'll be happy to send it off to you. It's fully referenced. You can check these resources yourself and see I'm not making this stuff up, folks. I wish I was. I mean, I wish this was a bunch of paranoid theorizing. Unfortunately, it's reality. Weather modification is real, and they're using it all of the time against us because, you see, we're the enemy. We're the ones that they want to conquer because we stand in their way for their global power. As it turns out, the same technology that is used to modify the weather can also be used to create, as I stated before, earthquakes and other geological disruptions simply by directing beams of energy near a fault or a volcano, which create powerful vibrations that cause the Earth's crust to locally crack and shift. This fact was admitted by former Secretary of Defense William Cohen on April 28, 1997, while speaking at a counterterrorism conference at the University of Georgia in Athens, sponsored by former Senator Sam Nunn. Cohen stated, quote, notice again, he's pointing fingers here at foreign countries as though they're the ones who can potentially develop this horrible technology, and we've got to do something to stop it. We don't have such a technology. Oh, BS. But listen to what he said. Others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate. Where did we read that before? Alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes, remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. Notice, see, other nations, not here. Oh, no. He said it's real. And that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, and that's why this is so important. You see, what he's really doing here is calling on Congress to give more funding to the Pentagon so they can counteract these threats, i.e., develop this technology even more so we can monopolize on it, make sure other nations never develop it, and wipe out anybody who poses a threat to our power. That's what this is all about, folks. They're the ones doing it, just like Al-Qaeda. They point fingers overseas, so you think Al-Qaeda are the terrorists when they're the ones staging these fake terrorist operations like 9/11. Snap out of it, America. Consider the December 26, 2004 earthquake, guys. Like I said a few minutes ago, that caused the Asian tsunami in the Indian Ocean. Again, when you look at the big contracts that were handed out, mostly to American companies, Halliburton had their hand in that too, you know, by not warning people, they maximized the death toll so that they could move in there and grab up all that land. But all those dead people, nobody was around to claim their land. So, it's open to the big corporations to come in and build their hotels and resorts. Oh, they wouldn't do that, you say? Guess again. These are the people who lied us into war in Iraq. They're also the people who staged 9/11. You really need to be told that? You think it's an accident? Reuters reported yesterday that Bush is now at 24% approval. By the way, that's pure baloney. His approval ratings aren't even that high. They always lie. You know, they always engage in damage control. He's probably not even 4%. But nevertheless, even the mainstream media can't hide the fact that Bush now officially has the lowest ratings of any president in American history. And boy, did he work hard to achieve that status, didn't he? He's earned it. It's about time that they finally acknowledge that fact. He is, in fact, the most dreaded and hated of all presidents in American history. That includes Nixon. Nixon's a Sunday school choir boy compared to this traitorous, wretched monster and his cabal of fascist, pig, mass-murdering, lying thieves. Hey, they don't call it the skull and bones for nothing, they do. Hey, make you walk the plank if you speak against me, I will. They're pirates, folks. Skull and bones. What do you think that's about? Come on. That's the Jolly Roger that flew on the pirate ships, the skull with the crossbones. They're telling you in their own name who and what they are. They're modern-day pirates. But instead of hijacking ships and robbing them, they're hijacking entire nations and robbing them. Blind! At least the pirates of old, you knew who they were. These guys profess to be your saviors, your heroes, saving you from the big bad terrorists when they're the ones orchestrating the whole thing. Snap out of it! It's awful funny how, as I mentioned before, no warning was given for that tsunami, guys. They not only knew it was coming in advance, but of course they orchestrated the thing, as I said before. Consider Hurricane Katrina once again. I mentioned that a few minutes ago. Struck the coasts of Alabama, Mississippi, and of course Louisiana on August 28th and 29th, 2005. Let's consider some highly suspicious circumstances surrounding this tragic event. President George W. Bush had cut back federal funding beginning in 2003 for improving the levee system in New Orleans, citing the cost of the Iraq War as the excuse. This was all leading up to something, guys. The Associated Press reported on September 2nd, 2005, quote, a group of Ladine County sheriffs heading to Louisiana to help maintain order among hurricane refugees had to turn around at the Virginia border when they couldn't get confirmation from emergency management officials, the Ladue County Sheriff said. Did you catch that? You know who that was, don't you? The boys at FEMA. The same ones who were at Ground Zero, ensuring that no investigation was conducted of the debris there to cover up their trail of crime. Well, here they were playing the little games down in Louisiana after Katrina. You really think FEMA stands for Federal Emergency Management Agency, folks? Stands for Federal Emergency Manufacturing Agency. Or better yet, Federal Emergency Magnification Agency. They make sure that the disaster is maximized. Did you know, again, write to me for the transcript. You'll get all this information. I can't go into it tonight in all the detail I want to because we're running out of time. But I cite articles in here that talk about how FEMA was cutting communication cables. They were also not only turning back hundreds of trucks, sending them home. Many others were lined up for miles outside the city. They wouldn't allow them to come in and bring to the suffering people the much-needed food and clothing and water and medicine that they contain. Not only that, they turned away 50 countries that offered help and services and supplies. And, They turned them all away. This went on for 8 days. Think about it. The average person cannot survive for more than 3 or 4 days without fresh water and food. And yet for 8 days, twice the amount of time, they wanted to make sure the maximum amount of deaths occurred. They wouldn't even let people leave the city to get help. Did you know that? Fox News covered that. Fox, famous for hiding the truth from people. That was one day when they did shine. They had Shepard Smith down there and Geraldo Rivera, and they were both screaming into the camera, "This is unbelievable! Let these people out of here," Geraldo was saying. Shepard Smith says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I am not kidding. You try to cross this bridge right now. On that side of the bridge, there's life, there's hope, there's medicine, there's food, there's water, there's electricity. But you try to cross that bridge now, and they will turn you back. There is a government checkpoint at the end of that bridge. They will not allow you to leave this city." Unbelievable. And it's true. 8 days this went on. And do you recall what our wonderful leader, Mr. Gluteus Maximus himself, do you remember what he said to Michael Brown, the FEMA director down there? He said, "You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie." Oh, doesn't it just make your stomach curdle? And then you know what his precious mummy had to say about this? She was asked, you know, about the people suffering in the dome. You know, people were dying in that dome. And then disease was spreading like wildfire. People were smelling those rotting corpses. They were pushing them out into the corridors. She says, "Well, this is working out quite well for them. These people are poor anyway." You gotta be kidding me. What a witch. This is like the old French Revolution days. Let them eat cake. This is unbelievable. This is your Bush family legacy for you right there, folks. Bunch of trash. Anyway, by the next day, September 3rd, a full 5 days after the storm had struck, desperately needed help was still not being provided by federal agencies, nor were they allowing non-government agencies to provide any help. As Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu complained, yeah, I guess that was her name, Landrieu, I guess that's how you pronounce it, she said, "I understand that the U.S. Forest Service had water tanker aircraft available to help douse the fires raging on our riverfront, but FEMA has yet to accept the aid." They were turning that back, too. Yahoo News reported on the same day, September 3rd, that, quote, "several states ready and willing to send National Guard troops to the rescue in New Orleans didn't get the go-ahead from FEMA until days after the storm struck, a delay nearly certain to be investigated by Congress." Right, yeah, Congress ran to the rescue, as always, right? Right. While on Meet the Press on September 4th, Aaron Brussard, the president of Jefferson Parish in New Orleans, told Tim Russert, quote, "We have been abandoned by our own country. Hurricane Katrina will go down in history as one of the worst storms ever to hit an American coast, but the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina will go down as one of the worst abandonments of Americans on American soil ever in U.S. history." And it was all by design, folks. Don't think for one moment this has anything to do with incompetence. They know exactly what they're doing. We'll never know how many people died after the storm passed. Because, you see, Gluteus Maximus actually forbade people to go in with cameras to prevent you from finding out what was going on. And then he had the gall to send U.S. troops in there with shoot-to-kill zero-tolerance policy orders. Shortly after, he passed an executive order stating that Halliburton, which got the unbidded contracts, did not have to pay prevailing wages to their slave laborers so they could keep the booty almost entirely for themselves. All of that relief fund money. Yeah. Halliburton got a lot of relief, but virtually none went to the suffering people down there. The few that survived that eight-day vigil of denying help to them, denying them the ability to get out of the city to get their own help. Not only was FEMA blocking domestic efforts, but like I said, 50 countries, guys, were turned away. This is unbelievable. I mean, there's no other way of looking at it. This was done deliberately. Mass murder right here in your own soil. In addition to the government preventing help and supplies from getting to the suffering people in New Orleans, they also prevented these same people, of course, from leaving. Fox News, as I mentioned, reported this. I'm just going through my notes. Sometimes I get ahead of myself here. Let me skip down, because there's something really important I want to read to you here, if I can find it. Okay, I think this is it. On August 27th, 2005, the White House's website reported, quote, "The president authorizes the Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Agency, to coordinate all disaster relief efforts which have the purpose of alleviating the hardship and suffering caused by the hurricane." Did you catch that? This is on the White House's website, August 27th, before the storm even struck. The White House, Bush, personally appointed FEMA to handle the post-storm crisis, to alleviate the suffering. Did they alleviate the suffering? Did they do anything to alleviate suffering? Or instead, did they in fact maximize the suffering? You better believe they did. And Bush told Mr. Brownie, "You've done a heck of a job." He did exactly what Bush wanted him to do. When are you going to wake up, America, and see what kind of trash you've got running your country? When are you going to put a stop to it? What happened to the days like Kent State? This country is in a coma. What they're doing us today far exceeds in scandalous criminality anything that went on in the Vietnam War era. And yet today, the American public is... You gotta be kidding me. That scares me even more than the scum, the trash that we got running this country and what they're doing. The fact that the American people are in a coma. Then came the typical cover-up activities, of course. Reuters reported on September 6th, quote, "The U.S. government agency leading the rescue efforts after Hurricane Katrina said on Tuesday," rescue efforts, my fat behind, "said on Tuesday that it does not want the news media to take photographs of the dead as they are recovered from the flooded New Orleans area." Well, of course not, because it would be seen that these people dehydrated. That's what caused their death. They died from starvation or lack of water. Oh, I tell you, man. Again, you got to request the transcripts and read this for yourself. There's just a whole lot more here that I'm not able to cover. I just wanted to mention this real quick. If I can find it here. Anyway, it doesn't look like... I'm going to find it in time. I only have about a minute left. Give me one second here. Yeah, this is it right here. Notice what Bush said, folks, just prior to his tour of the areas devastated by Katrina. Quote, "I'm not looking forward to this trip. It's as if the entire Gulf Coast were obliterated by the worst kind of weapon you can imagine." Yahoo News, September 2nd, 2005. Isn't that interesting? He said the coastline looked like it was devastated by the worst kind of weapon you can imagine. He's playing war games, mind games with you folks. He knows that it was the little high-tech weather modification weapon that was used down there. And he loves it, because he's been raking in fat wads of cash for himself and his little buddies on Wall Street, his little buddies in Halliburton, or should I say Cheney's little buddies, but his buddies too, because he's got investments in the company. There you have it, folks, in a nutshell. You want more info, again, truthhurtsradio@AOL.com. I'll send you the transcripts. Read it and weep. That's all the time we got for this week, folks. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.